Now get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Crisco's Vic and Sade. Say, you know, it doesn't matter what kind of cake you make. That's up to you. But let me tell you, it's going to matter a lot how good that cake's going to be. So here's a suggestion. Just change to new SureMix Crisco. I promise you that with the help of this amazing new shortening, you can make higher, lighter, tenderer, and better-eating cakes than you ever made with any other shortening. Now, that's such a big promise, I'm not even going to ask you to take my word for it. I want you to find out about new SureMix Crisco yourself. Just use Crisco the same way you do any shortening. Make cakes the same way you've always made them. Use the same pans, the same oven. But use new SureMix Crisco in place of the shortening you ordinarily use. And I promise you that you can make higher, lighter cakes than you've ever made before, and they'll be tenderer and better cakes than you can make with any other shortening. And here's why. New SureMix Crisco helps all the cake ingredients get together and stay together. Why, SureMix Crisco cake batter is an entirely new type of cake batter. It's smoother, finer cake batter, and it never separates or becomes grainy or curdled like cake batters made with other shortenings so frequently do. And boy, oh boy, what a big difference this new type of batter can make in cakes. Why, our baking tests, made with many different shortenings, show that with new SureMix Crisco, you can make higher cakes, cakes as much as 15% higher, depending on the type of cake, and you can make lighter, tenderer, and far better eating cakes than you can get with any other household shortening we've ever seen. Now, don't put off trying new SureMix Crisco. Don't just wonder whether or not you can make better cake with this amazing new shortening. Change to new SureMix Crisco today. You can make higher, lighter, tenderer, and better eating cakes than you ever made before, regardless of what shortening you use. Well, sir, it's a few minutes past 7 o'clock in the evening as we join our friends on Virginia Avenue. And here are the three of them assembled in the living room. There, Sadie occupies a corner of the Davenport. And young Rush, at the library table, reads aloud from a volume of spirited fiction. Listen.
Third Lieutenant Stanley turned to the crowd of excited spectators and executed a low, graceful bow. Then he wiped his mouth with a blue silk handkerchief, adjusted his necktie, and prepared to give Lady Margaret 14 kisses. The beautiful woman Pinkin had hid her face behind her dainty parasol. With one terrific lunge, the handsome young officer reached her side.
That'll
he tenderly rested
enough,
the parasol
think,
from
Harry.
Her grasp. And that'll suffice. As soon as he gives her the 14 kisses, he fights four lions blindfolded.
No doubt. I read it to yourself. Mm-hmm.
Kitty Margaret both make me a little sick. That's so silly.
They're fatheads. Sadie, you've from time to time accused me of wearing a guilty expression.
Well?
I have become aware of such an expression on your face this evening. Though a tendency to glance out at me at the corner of your eye, and you titter frequently without apparent cause. Your deportment suggests culpability.
Oh.
Is it obvious you carry a burdensome secret in your chest?
I was gonna tell you after a bit.
Tell me now.
All right.
Shoot.
Ooh, something I never done before in my life.
Proceed.
Hid mail.
Beg pardon?
I hid some mail.
Some of my mail?
Yeah.
Here we are. Four huge lions rushed into the arena. Third Lieutenant Stanley adjusted his blindfold. His face was tense and white.
I believe I put an official quietus on further reading, George.
This is the place where Third Lieutenant Stanley fights four lions blindfolded.
You may read to yourself or leave the room. Sadie, you hid some of my mail?
Never in the world ever done such a thing before.
You hid a letter, perhaps? Produced the letter.
Well, I'll tell you how it was. The mailman dropped it in the box along with the postal card from Beth this afternoon. By the way, you read Beth's postal card?
No.
Go get it, Rush. Out on the buffet.
Let us stick to your guilty secret. Produce my letter.
Well, let a person tell a thing first.
Produce
the mailman...
my letter.
All right. Not as serious as all that. The mailman dropped
produce
it.
Produce my letter.
Willie.
Yeah?
Out in the right-hand buffet drawer, fetch the envelope you see on top of the other stuff.
Right-hand buffet drawer?
Yes. Don't mess up my doilies.
Mm.
Surprised at myself doing such a thing. Policemen come and throw you in Sing Sing jail for hiding people's mail, don't they?
To whom was the letter directed?
Addressed, you mean?
Addressed and directed are synonymous terms, I believe.
Oh, come on now. Quit acting like I robbed the People's Bank building. Don't really amount to anything.
To whom was the letter directed?
Mr. Victor Gook, I suppose.
Not Mrs. Victor Gook?
Mr. Victor Gook.
You took the liberty of opening the communication, I presume?
Well, of course. Otherwise, how would I have known what was inside?
Are you in the habit of opening envelopes directed to others?
Oh, others. Nothing ever comes here that's private. I open all the envelopes the mailman delivers. Always have. You know that.
It is my understanding of our national postal laws that all communications addressed to any expressly stated party are strictly...
Oh, stop being the big judge with the white wig on in the movie picture show. Give your father his letter, Willie.
Is what you mean?
Yeah. It's from them Chicago Lodge headquarters fellas.
I suspected as much.
Here you got it.
Thank you, my boy.
Perfectly all right, my father.
Quit making me feel like the criminal in the two-wheel cart going down to the whatchamacallit to have their head cut off.
Mr. Victor Gook.
They want to drag another $50 out of you.
Excuse me while I read my letter.
I'll tell you what it says. It says you can spend $50 and get another picture of R.J. Conk where his lips draw back by electricity and smile.
Excuse me while I read my letter.
Yes, go.
Thank you.
I suppose I can talk to Willie, can I?
That is as you please.
What's Third Lieutenant Stanley doing now?
Huh?
How'd he come out with the Tigers?
Lions. By George, he's in a mighty tight place. Listen to this. The handsome young officer, bleeding in 40 places, grew weaker by the second. Lady Margaret, from her perch on the flying trapeze, sobbed hysterically. One of the angry lions extended a gigantic...
Ain't that ridiculous?
How you mean?
Talking to your father. Vic, ain't that letter ridiculous?
I haven't finished reading it yet.
Lady Margaret's up on the trapeze, hmm?
Yeah. Lady Margaret, from her perch on the flying trapeze, sobbed hysterically. One of the lions extended a gigantic paw, and Third Lieutenant Stanley's shirt was ripped to ribbons. Two other lions drew closer, and the fourth prepared to spring. Suddenly, the handsome young...
Finished it now?
Huh?
Beck, finished your letter?
Yes, I have.
Ridiculous?
Whether it's ridiculous or not is hardly the point at issue. My feeling on the matter
is...
Wait,
heaven, I opened it like I open all the letters the mailman brings, and as soon as I saw what it was, my heart just sank. $50 more they want, I said to myself. It was only a week before last you bought that $50 cabinet. A week before that, they tried to talk you into buying an oil portrait of yourself for $50. And then I thought of the lodge robes and lodge boots and lodge diplomas and lodge swords and lodge this and lodge that and lodge the other thing. My heart just sank.
So you secreted another person's private letter in your buffet drawer.
Oh, I was going to give it to you. I did give it to you, didn't I?
You did. That's true. However, the case has certain angles.
Done it on the impulse of the moment, don't you catch on? I was good and mad at them Chicago Lodge headquarters fellas. Hand me your letter once.
Gladly.
Let me read what it says here.
I'm already aware of what it says. I've just finished it.
You already have in your possession a large frame portrait of our revered founder, R.J. Conk, in which the eyes light up by electrical currents. We are now announcing the availability of an improved portrait. Picture in your mind a portrait of our beloved founder in which not only the eyes light up, but the mouth smiles. Science has developed a rubberoid substance which is hardy, flexible, and the exact color of human flesh. You switch on electricity and behold, R.J. Conk's eyes flash and gleam. R.J. Conk's lips part and he smiles a beautiful white tooth smile. Vic, isn't that ridiculous?
Whether it's ridiculous or
isn't
not...
Isn't it ridiculous? Isn't it ridiculous?
Headquarters
and then
are...
down here further. One feels the actual presence of R.J. Conk. He winks, grimaces, beams, and smiles. All for $50. Sky Brother Art Bleep of our Transon Pacific Chapter, San Francisco, California, writes, Agricola, Punk, Adsit, Fish, Nomenclature, Ad, Libby, Dumb, Epi, Hitch, Sinus, Trouble, Non, Henderson, and so on and on and on and on.
Sadie,
well, don't you see how I felt? My heart just sank. $50 more. We got large ropes and boots and tassels and cabinets and plumes and swords and libraries and enough other trash to fill 10 gunny sacks. And here they come along and want $50 for a picture of some old man where he's got a rubber face that smiles and grins when you turn on the electricity. Don't you see how I felt?
Hmm?
My heart just sank.
Well, it is.
You don't want this thing, do you?
No.
You positive you don't?
Yep.
You'll read that letter over again a couple of times and start getting interested, and before you know it, you'll be sending another check for $50.
No, I won't say it.
Done it before.
I won't this trip, though.
Mm-hmm.
Lodge headquarters have gone just a trifle too far with their money-making project. I agree with you. This offer is ridiculous.
Picture of a fellow where he's got rubber lips that draw back and show teeth when you turn on the electric.
Yeah. They've gone a trifle too far. Mm. Throw the letter in the garbage bucket next time you go to the kitchen.
Sorry I hit it.
Perfectly all right.
But you appreciate why.
Sure.
I'm forgiven, huh?
Completely.
Felt like a regular criminal during supper.
Mm.
By George, he licks off for him.
Servicing, Stanley?
Yeah.
Licks all four tigers?
Lions. The handsome young officer gazed around the arena. The carcasses of the mighty kings of beasts lay in grotesque positions. Sir Lieutenant Stanley gazed upwards and beheld Lady Margaret still clinging to the trapeze. Come down, he screamed, and I'll give you 47 kisses.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Crisco's Vic and Sade until the next time. Oh, say, here's a grand surprise to spring on the family. French fried sweet potatoes. Ah, they taste grand. You just follow your regular French fried potato recipe and be very sure to heat your SureMix Crisco up to 395 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the proper Crisco frying temperature to give you crisp, golden brown French fries that can be as light and digestible as if baked. And don't forget, you can fry with new SureMix Crisco again and again. SureMix Crisco doesn't carry the flavor of one food over into the other. And this same pure, fresh SureMix Crisco can give you wonderful help with all your baking and frying. You see, new SureMix Crisco acts differently from any other home shortening we know of. Take cakes, for instance. By our baking tests, made with many different shortenings, show that you can make cakes with new SureMix Crisco that are higher, lighter, tenderer, and better eating cakes than you ever made before. So, for grand eating all through the new year, change to new SureMix Crisco today for cakes, pies, and fried foods, too. And don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Save the next time. This is Ralph Edwards speaking.